Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
So you are hearing some of the musical score from Austin's Pride. It's a new musical of Pride and Prejudice. It is a tale reimagined. So I saw Austin Pride at the Kirkwood Performing Arts Center last night. I'm embarrassed to admit this. I wasn't going to admit it, but I think I need to be honest. First time ever going to the Kirkwood Performing Arts Center. It's beautiful.
Why would you be embarrassed about that?
Because
not everybody goes to Kirkwood.
But it's not just about Kirkwood. I mean, it's a St. Louis institution. It's a region-wide, beautiful, beautiful theater. And so with this play, Austin's Pride, they reimagine Jane Austen writing Pride and Prejudice, and they brilliantly and seamlessly intertwine Jane Austen and her own feelings as she's writing the book with the characters on stage. So you're watching Jane Austen, but you're also watching the story of Pride and Prejudice unfold. Almost you're seeing it unfold through Jane Austen's eyes. It was so much fun. I can't recommend it enough. It runs through this weekend, but I'm so honored to welcome in Erin Craig, who is the producer of Austin's Pride. I think she's traveling back to St. Louis right now. Erin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Amy. It's nice to be here. Thank you so much. And I loved listening to you talk about the show. That was so exciting.
It was so fun.
She didn't invite me.
No. Well, I was invited by a friend. It was perfect timing. I love Pride and Prejudice. I grew up reading it. And of all things, I started the audiobook several weeks ago just because I missed it and wanted something to listen to, you know, just when you need a break from the world. And so being able to see Pride and Prejudice, the story, play out and see Jane Austen, the author of the story, be delighted and surprised and moved by her characters that come to life. It's so well done. When you decided, you know, to take this job producing this play, were you familiar with Pride and Prejudice? Were you a big Jane Austen fan?
Well, no, not at all. Not at all. In fact, my story, I always have to sort of step back because there are so many brilliant people like you who love Pride and Prejudice and who love Jane Austen. But I was not one of them.
Yeah.
When I first was approached by the project. And so I love meeting people who love the stories and who love her and her life and know so much about her life. And she was so fascinating. I mean, now, like, thinking back to all that I've learned since working on the show, the fact that this woman would be celebrating her 250th
wow.
birthday this year if she were still around. And yet the world is actually celebrating her 250th birthday this year. It's remarkable, you know, and she was a person who nobody really knew her name while she was alive. They certainly didn't know that she wrote any of her novels that she did while she was alive. And when she passed, her brother made it his mission to get her name added to all of her works so that she could posthumously actually be Jane Austen. So it's just wild to think that this woman who had so much to tell and so much wit and so much love and so much passion was expressing it all through her writing and couldn't do that in her daily life in the same way. It was just fascinating. Anyway, sorry, that was not the question that you asked me.
No, I think it was. It was along those lines because, and I'll piggyback on what you said. I was so struck. Like, here's the thing. I've read all of Jane Austen's books and I love her.
Yep.
But to see it acted out in the play and to see Jane in the centerpiece of her own novels, I think emphasized to a degree that I had not realized before just how profoundly modern Jane Austen's thinking was. This is Regency era England where, like she points out, women are completely reliant on marriage and they don't have any rights. They don't have any say. And the fact that she was able to be honest with herself, but also criticize the system is pretty radical.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I love that you got all of that. You're like reading the mind. I mean, it's fantastic. That's what we love to hear. You know, the writers really knew Pride and Prejudice really well when they started to write it. It's written by two women, Amanda Jacobs and Lindsay Warren Baker. And when they set out to write this musical, they wanted to write a musical about Pride and Prejudice. And they then went on a journey around the UK to travel the story of Pride and Prejudice. And when they got to, they finally then went to Jane Austen's house where she actually wrote. And she was in Chawton House, and they were in Chawton House, and they got to her writing room, and they all of a sudden were inspired that she needed to actually be in the story. So that's how that came to pass originally. And then as the show has evolved over time, of course, the musical has evolved story-wise in such a way that, like you said, she really is that primary character. And I think from someone who didn't know Pride and Prejudice, my way into the story was watching this human being, this woman, talking to her sister, you know, being asked to write something new and not knowing what to do. I got to go on a journey with a human. And that was happened to be Jane Austen, who had all these ups and downs as she went through her work. And being an artist, that just adds to it, right? And the joy of it. But I fell in love with the show, which has then led me to learn more about Jane and also Pride and Prejudice. And I just think, you know, having the opportunity to put some of these female forward, you know, these female characters forward who are so strong and yet then vulnerable and able to admit their mistakes and their flaws while also remaining strong and finding their place in the world. Like, there's just, it's just super exciting. And I'm not downplaying the gentlemen in the show, I will say. They're all fantastic, too. And those characters are also amazing.
I will say there is a song, Fine Eyes, I guess that's the name of it, with Mr. Darcy singing. My heart actually stopped at one point because his voice was so stunning. And I think everybody in the theater knew something extraordinary had happened with that song. I mean, that was amazing too. Such a beautiful song.
Oh, that's so nice. Yes.
Did you cry?
Wonderful.
I did not. I almost cried. Okay. I could have because it was so emotional. But I mean, for you to be the producer, like you said, not really being the Jane Austen fan stereotype, you are walking into a world that's like Star Wars fans, you know how they're like super intense and they know all the details and what's canon and what counts and what doesn't. Were you nervous about going?
Well, not as crazy as Star Wars
they
fans.
Are.
Star Wars fans are insane.
Jane Austen fans have period specific.
There are no
costumes.
Jane Austen Kevin Wheelers out there. That's what I'm
there
talking
might
about.
Be.
He's nuts.
Were you intimidated, Aaron?
That's funny.
Star Wars.
No, I love it. I'm like, I'll take it if it's that big of an industry. Let's go. Let's do it. No, because I had great partners.
Yeah.
The writers know the story so well. Our director knew the story and loved the story so much that I was able to retain my place of not knowing. And then that way we were able to actually build a story and a musical that appealed to both sides so that it wasn't just about building a musical that was for people who love Jane Austen and Pride and Prejudice and or Pride and Prejudice, but also just for the general public. And that was really important to me in looking forward with the piece. It's like, how do you get the largest audience and where do you find the ability for people to come in? And of course, the low-hanging fruit are the lovers, right? But hopefully, and we found that in St. Louis. It's been such a wonderful audience in St. Louis. Oh my gosh, people have come back multiple times. People who didn't know the stories were like, I just love that Jane Austen, or I love what the story is. And you used something in your introduction where you said it was and I'm sorry, I think I might mess up the words, so correct me, but something about like, it's an escape. It's a joyful moment in time where you get to go into the story and you come out the other side and you're glad you did. And I think right now we all are looking for some moments of joy and some moments of a shared experience with other people. And that's nothing like live theater to do that, but especially something that's so full of love and joy and happiness and beauty, whether it's, you know, beauty on the stage or whether it's like the beautiful voices or the beautiful story, like all the ways. I feel really lucky and to be able to be a part of this project and to really help to take it forward in the world.
And there are only a handful of opportunities to see this show at the Kirkwood Performing Arts Center before. I believe you move on to Virginia next, right?
We are going to Charlotte next. We are going to Virginia in a couple of weeks, but the next stop will be Charlotte. But yes, so, just through this week with Stages St. Louis at the Kirkwood Performing Arts Center. Yes.
Show tonight, tomorrow, two on Saturday, and then one on Sunday. So this is a pre-Broadway show, and forgive me, I don't know exactly what that means. Does that mean this will be heading to New York eventually?
Eventually is the right word. Okay. Yes, the plans are to, you know, one of our authors always says, and I love it, and I try to mimic it whenever possible. She said, you know, this show has the ability for world domination. Mm. It has the ability that it can travel anywhere, anyhow, anytime. And so right now we're focused on how do we expand. We're doing this tour right after our production at Stages. Please, yes, if you have not been to Stages St. Louis, please go this week. If not this week to see Austin's Pride, please go see Beautiful in, I think, September, October. They're just such a wonderful company, and it's a beautiful theater, as you were saying, Amy. So
yeah,
please
really
celebrate and support nonprofit regional professional theater because it's so important in all of our communities. So that's my plug there.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Please support them.
It really was. It was astounding. And a couple of people I went with, it was their first time there. And it's amazing that we have that here in St. Louis, in Kirkwood, such a beautiful theater. And I know you said Broadway eventually. This may be a dumb question. How do you get to Broadway? Do they ask you? How do you get there? Do you just show up?
Well, some days I think maybe that's the way, but no. You know, it's a long process. It's a very long process. We had started this journey with this show pre-pandemic and then and had a beautiful production in Connecticut at ACT of Connecticut, which is a small regional professional theater. We then moved on to Seattle Fifth Avenue, which is a very large, beautiful, fantastic touring house and producing entity that produces a lot of pre-Broadway stuff. And we did a gorgeous production there at the end of 2019. And then obviously we know what happened in 2020. Mm. So we've been on this journey for a while. And while we had great momentum at that moment in time with the pandemic, we had to sort of, as everyone did, I hate this word because we all said it so much, but we had to pivot and we had to pause. And in 2023, we did a concert at Carnegie Hall. So as to put some of the music out into the world, we released a few of the tracks from the Carnegie Hall concert, which was with a full pops orchestra. And then we made this partnership with Stages to create the show and for them to produce it in St. Louis for this 4 weeks, and then the opportunity to go on the road and on tour for this mini tour, which most people don't do before they go to New York. They do after New York. So that becomes all about raising the money, right? That's really about how do you have the money to make sure that you can get there and do these things. And then to get beyond that, you just keep inviting people to the table. You keep pushing forward. You make sure you have the best possible show that you can have. And for me, it's always about how do we spread the word as wide as possible, because the more people that know about it, the more people who might actually come and fill those theaters and buy the tickets, which is really what matters in the end. Again, that shared experience.
Absolutely. And I highly recommend everyone see Austin's Pride through the end of this month. What did we say the very last day was?
It's Sunday.
August 24th.
Yeah, Sunday.
So it's coming up. And
five shows left.
Yeah, we snagged one of the last shows. I can't recommend it enough. It was so much fun. Aaron, as you said, whether you are a Jane Austen fan or not, you haven't read Pride and Prejudice, it is an all-inclusive show. It's not predicated on former knowledge, which I love. And the casting, I just have to brag about it because the singing was amazing. We couldn't, we were debating who was like the best. And we're like, is it Jane? Is it Elizabeth? And like I said, the song Fine Eyes, I mean, woof, that was amazing. It just blew me away.
That's Dan Hoy. Everybody should know him. He's brilliant. I mean, like you said, they're all brilliant.
They're all brilliant, yes.
But yes. Yes. Well, Chris, if you have time and you want to come, let me know and I'll see if I can, you know, sneak you in the back door.
See, Amy, that's what an invitation sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate you.
You're the best. Aaron Craig, producer of the brilliant Austin's Pride, playing at Stages St. Louis. You only have a couple days left. The last show is Sunday. Get your tickets now. Aaron, thank you so much. All the best. We can't wait to see you guys on Broadway.
Thank you so much, Amy and Chris. Take care.
Thank you. So fun. This is it.
This is the one you like?
This is Dan Hoy as Mr. Darcy.
Oh, this guy.
Brought down the house at the Kirkwood Performing Arts Center.
Dan Hoy.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.